In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So this week, as I mentioned, we are celebrating the Ember Days. This is the transition from the summer season of summer to the season of fall. And so I will speak more about that at length. But today, the 22nd, is it the 22nd or is it the 23rd? 23rd, the days fly. The 23rd, the Feast of St. Linus with commemoration of St. Thecla, and also in the new calendar, the Feast of St. Padre Pio. And this is one of the reasons why eventually the traditional Mass does need to update its calendar, because we're missing out on St. Padre Pio. We don't have him yet. And I would like to speak at length about Padre Pio, but that is, you have to be careful. If you're going to talk about Padre Pio, you better know what you're talking about, because a bunch of people, they know as much as you do or more, because everybody loves St. Padre Pio. Incredible saint. One of the greatest stigmatists since St. Francis of Assisi. It's almost like we've got bookends. St. Francis was the very first one since St. Paul to have it, and then St. Padre Pio in our own times, incredible stigmatist. And as usual, of course, he died in 1968, right? Born in 1887, died in 68. And that was like right in the midst, right before Vatican II and all that. And he was an embarrassment to his order. He was a Capuchin friar. They tried to hide him. They put him in a library for 20 years, just so. But he was a metal. He would read people's souls and hearts, an incredible confessor, prayed 30 rosaries a day, would bilocate, would levitate, had visions. So that was St. Padre Pio. His feast day is today. Also, whose feast is today is St. Linus, and he's the second bishop of Rome. And this is after St. Peter. So St. Peter's the first bishop of Rome, St. Linus is the second. And he's mentioned at the end of St. Paul's epistle to Timothy. He says, so it's in the Bible, "Come quickly before the winter, Eubulia salutes thee, as does Claudia and Linus." That's this Linus. So St. Linus is mentioned there in the epistle of Timothy. And you'll hear his name, I say the name in the canon of the Mass, right? Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Chrysogonus, so that's the one. He was beheaded by the proconsul of Rome, from whose own daughter he had driven out evil spirits, and he was buried on Vatican Hill next to St. Peter. And this was held to be a legend for centuries. Oh, that's not really, he didn't really get buried there, he wasn't beheaded, whatever. Well, guess what? When they excavated the Vatican and they found St. Peter's tomb, right next to it, they found another tomb, Linus. So how about that? Once again, tradition may be believed. The interesting thing about St. Linus is, this is kind of going back to the Old Testament consecrations. So St. Linus was consecrated a bishop by St. Paul. St. Peter, as we know, was consecrated by our Lord, but St. Paul also was consecrated by our Lord, we could say, through that mystically, when he went into the desert for 2 years. So what we have is, eventually, anybody who's a priest or a bishop today is going to be able to trace their ordination back to one of the 12 apostles or St. Paul. So we all have kind of this spiritual lineage. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, who's my apostle? Which one is it? We'll find out in heaven. So Ember Days, to speak more about that at length, and it really is, it's too bad that the church has suppressed these celebration of the Ember Days. We still can. In our calendar, we can celebrate it. We do celebrate it. In the Novus Ordo calendar, it's kind of like a votive Mass. You have to have a fourth class feast day, there's nothing else going on. Then you can do out of devotion an Ember Day. But they really are, I would say, important in understanding the greater cycle of nature. The Ember Days is really, this would be a hippie's like Mass. Like if you're a hippie, this is your Mass, because it's about the passing of the seasons, right? Summer, winter, fall, and spring. And these days, the Ember Days, are based off of the astronomical events of the solstice and the equinoxes. And I mean, we don't think about that. But this really, these Ember Days, the whole purpose of them, or I would say wrapped into the purpose of them, is the words from Genesis chapter 1, when God created the stars and the planets, and he says, "Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years." God made the seasons. God made summer, winter, fall, and spring. And he intended that to be that way. God intended there to be different harvests and different, the grapes grow at this time, and the wheat grows at this time, and the flowers bloom here, and then you have this harvest in the summertime. And God intended all of this diversity and all of this variety. And that is what is commemorated during the Ember Days. Now, practically speaking, the Ember Days occur four times a year, and we observe them by on the Wednesdays, the Fridays, and the Saturdays in any given week. So this year, any year, you're going to have the Ember Days of September, and it's going to be following the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, and then it's going to be, like I said, on the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And why do we do that? Because yesterday was the equinox. That was the autumnal equinox, when the days and the nights, there's equal amount of day, equal amount of night during the day. And in the springtime, the Ember Days are prior to the vernal equinox, which is when equal days, equal nights, and that's the Ember Days, which is the first week of Lent. And so then the other two, so those are the two, the equinoxes, Ember Days of the spring, Ember Days of the fall. Then you have the solstice. Right, and the solstice, that occurs at Pentecost and occurs during Advent. Those are the Ember Days associated with the solstice. And the solstice, as we know, just to explain, is when the earth is tilting on its axis, it appears as if the sun is rising. And the sun gets to a certain point, and then the earth stops tilting, and then the earth begins to tilt away from the sun, and then it appears as if the sun stands still, right? I mean, it's not climbing any higher in the sky. And then it goes back down towards the horizon, right? And this is why we have longer days and shorter days, why it's warmer in the summer and colder in the winter, right? Because of those astronomical events. So it's bound up in creation, right? It's bound up in the liturgy of the church, and people don't realize this, but the only reason that Galileo and Isaac Newton and all these other scientists were able to make the advances that they made was because the church was constantly trying to figure out what's a better way of tracking the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon so that we can more accurately calculate the solstice, the equinox, Easter, and all these other liturgical celebrations. That's where science comes from. That's where astronomy comes from. It comes from the church wanting to know more about God's creation. The church has always been the greatest friend and patron of science. So this is what we're celebrating. So if you think about that, the solstice is really, that's what determines the, we could say, equinox, because the solstice, the summer solstice, the sun is the highest. The winter solstice, the sun is the lowest, and the equinoxes are when it's in between. It's going from the highest to the lowest, or back the other direction. So right now, we're equally distant from the beginning of summer as we are to the beginning of winter, right? We have fall in between. And we often don't think about that. We go out and we see, okay, yeah, the weather is changing and the fall and the leaves and all this kind of thing. Are we thinking about God when that is happening? Right? Are we thinking about God as the one who made this, and God is the one who desires us to have this variety and this difference? And the pagans knew that, right? The pagans, the Ember Days, these were actually celebrated with pagan festivals. They celebrated before the harvests, before the fall, before the spring planting, in the depth of winter. The pagans knew they depended on the gods. They were mistaken, but they knew, we do need help, right? We recognize God made this, and this is part of the order of the universe. And modern man, we really are we're detached from nature. Because we have air conditioning, we have heat, we have electricity, we don't really suffer the loss of sunlight. We just turn the lights on. We don't really suffer the cold because we go from our heated house to our heated car to the heated church to the heated whatever, right? We don't feel that. So we have to make an effort to go outside and look at nature, right? Like St. Francis of Assisi, or like we heard about Joseph of Cupertino earlier in the week, they saw God in nature. They saw him. They saw that, this is amazing, this is wonderful. God made this, and go out at night. Look at the stars, go away from the city, go up into the mountains here if you can. Try to take your kids camping, look at the stars late at night. It's incredible. God made all of this, and he wants us to, we could say, give it back to him, right? All of nature is like God's postcard, hey, humanity, I love you, signed God, right? That's like his message to us. And so this is what we remember with the Ember Days. God made this, it is a good world, and he wanted us to be happy in this world. That's so important to remember, is that people get, they get caught up, they get, you know, life is hard, and we make it hard, right? We make it hard because we put our happiness in things which aren't going to bring us happiness. But we should remember that. God wants us to be happy, but the way he's going to do it is he's going to bring us to virtue first. Virtue is what enables us to understand true happiness. And it is a virtue to set aside the busyness of life, to set aside all of our technological creations, and go back to nature and say, this is what God created. This is God's technology, if we could say that. And knowing more about nature will teach us more about God. So let's thank God for that. Let us thank him for the seasons, for the opportunity to remember the good things in life, the good things in nature, and let us perhaps try to take this time to slow down a little bit to enjoy nature, which is enjoying time with God. He made it for us. Let's make our lives something we give to him in return. God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.